Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
How is everybody doing? Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening to Imperfect Brilliance. I am your host, Betsy McLaughlin. And I'm so grateful you're here. I know you have a lot of choices on what you can do with your time. And, you know, you might be walking the dog or cooking dinner or just sitting and relaxing. And I really appreciate that you're taking time out of your day to tune in and listen to me. So please, as always, feel free to let me know what subjects you'd like to talk about. If you have a guest that you think would be fun to have me interview, please let me know. And you can do that by emailing me at accessbetsy@gmail.com or find me on Facebook. And today I have the pleasure of my guest, Miss Amy Shine. So first and foremost, welcome Amy to the show.
Thanks, Betsy.
Very happy to have you here. And as you guys will hear very shortly, she's got a beautiful Irish accent, which I always just love listening to you talk. And what we're going to talk about today is the joy of failure. And that's kind of like, what?
It makes me laugh every time I say it.
Yes, it does. And actually, Amy is doing a telecall on this, and she sent an email out, and I saw it, and it just pinged me. I was like, oh my God, I love this title. Can you please come on my show and let's talk about it? And she very graciously said, yes, absolutely. So here's a little bit of the description, and you know, we're all going to go, as you guys know, we go all over the place, but we're going to at least start here. In writing this and just looking at the energy of it, do you expect and maybe project that you're going to fail? So do you create situations where you will fail, where you will be rejected, where you will kind of become a self-fulfilling prophecy? And then you can say, see, there I go again. There I'm failing again. Are you avoiding success with the need to prove the failure that you've decided you are? Like, what? Okay. So that's what we're going to talk about. And really creating a shift from avoiding failure. And avoiding failure in relationships, in your business, in your body, like wherever you've decided, perhaps, that you have been in all a failure, and really tapping into the joy that life truly can be if you choose it. So is now the time to start including and receiving all of you? And what else can we explore on this time together today? So a little snippet about Amy. She is, Amy Shine, is a world traveler. Say that fast three times. She's an inspirational life and movement coach who loves to inspire and awaken others to a life of more ease, fun, and consciousness with their body and their being. And she's also one of the authors of the best-selling book, Dancing as the Body for Consciousness. And she sees possibilities everywhere in a world that used to disillusion her. And I love that. I love, love, love that. So again, welcome to the show, Amy.
Thanks, Betsy. It's funny. It's funny that, you know, you took that line that I said, you know, now I start, since I think the line was taken from my bio in the profile on my Access Consciousness website, which I had said, you know, when I found Access Bars, which is the beginning class in Access Consciousness, and when I found the Bars class and took my first Bars class, was really shifted everything in my world. That one day class like shifted so much mm-hmm. for me, and it was like that shift of actually seeing possibilities where I used to just be disillusioned. So it's funny that you came in with that line, but yet I'm going to talk about the joy of failure.
Well, you run away so much from failure, you know, and then if we've done something that we have viewed as a failure, then we spend all this time beating ourselves up. So there's no joy in that.
Yeah, and it's like okay, you know, how do you actually change something? It's not by judging it, it's actually seeing the humor in it and getting the lightness of it, because it's like laughing at the insanity of the things we create, for me, mm-hmm. is the best therapy. And I spent years trying to, you know, fix myself and, you know, do all that self-help stuff and, you know, talk about things and analyze it and figure it out. And all I ever did was make me more and more heavier. And all I ever felt like I kept feeling like I was just getting more and more problems. And one of the joys of the tools of Access Consciousness is that when you function from like interesting point of view and not take everything so serious and make everything so significant, things can change much faster. So when you look at things like, okay, like, setting yourself up for failure, if you actually don't judge it, it can change much faster. And so if you can start to have like a sense of humor with mm-hmm. yourself, first of all, you know, it actually gets a lot easier, you know.
And
so it's funny because your show is called Imperfect Brilliance, you know. And that's what it is. It's like imperfect brilliance, like the joy of failure, like actually starting to look at where you do set yourself up for failure, where you do expect and project that you're not good enough or you won't be able to succeed. So why even try, you know? And also what I was looking at as well, and we can explore this more if you'd like, is the joy of failure too is also looking at where we create the failure in our lives, and we keep ourselves small and we keep ourselves from really expanding into what we really could to create the connection points to other people who create that. So it's like all together, let's all go and just like struggle and fail together, and then together we can all have the joy of failure, you know.
Well, you know, there's a lot of truth to that, and that's saying the misery loves company is what was popping in as you were talking about that. So how much of certainly in my life where I thought that is how I connected with people, like the commiseration piece together, let's commiserate together. And, you know, like somehow that was connecting me to other people. And that's not, for me, certainly was not fun and joyful, and yet I did it.
Yeah, and it's so insidious as well, you know. You do it so quickly, it's just like an auto responder, like it's automatic, like someone starts saying something, you know, like, oh, that's really difficult, or yeah, I struggle with that. And then before you know it, you're like, yeah, I struggle with that too. And so we're constantly creating this like relating to people through the struggle or the hardship or the difficulty. And instead of actually, you know, being a space of interesting point of view that they had that point of view, and not diminishing you in front of anyone so that you can relate to them, or so that they feel better, you know? Because it's like, I noticed that, and I grew up in Ireland, and so misery loves company. It's a massive thing in Ireland, you know? And it's like, let's all be miserable together, and, you know, or let's all just like, oh yeah, like, let's all kind of stay. It's kind of like, yeah, like, it's like, it's definitely misery loves company. And I don't think it's just a culture point of view. I think it's a worldwide point of view. And I was noticing this week, even since I'm getting ready to facilitate this topic, I'm seeing it everywhere now. And I was mm-hmm. noticing, like, even with, you know, people who are using the tools of access consciousness and all that, we still create these places where we relate to each other. And so I was talking to another facilitator and asking her some questions. She wanted some facilitation around her business and around creating classes. And she said to me, oh, I struggle like everyone else. Like everyone else, I struggle with creating classes. And I was like, oh, well, like, just look at that for a second, because, like, that's your point of view. So that's the reality you're going to create. And then she went on to tell me, well, I don't even talk to these people. And I was like, but you're still creating the struggle to relate to them, even if you're not in conversation with these people every day, you know? So a lot mm-hmm. of the things we create are very energetic. So, like, we create, like, these things like, oh, yeah, I struggle here, or I struggle with money, or I'm still not making a lot of money, or I'm still not creating a lot of business, or I still don't have a lot of clients. So then we can relate to other people. So together then we're all like, okay, we all got the same story now, you know? And mm-hmm. I was looking at the other day, and someone had asked me something about a couple of my classes. And it's always interesting when people are like, oh, how's your class going, or whatever, you know? And you're like, and you can almost feel like there's like the minimizing sometimes we do of ourselves, you know? And like, mm-hmm. are you more comfortable talking about how you're not succeeding and you're not doing well? Or are you more comfortable talking about how well you're doing? And I know for me, like, talking about how well you're doing, or like how great things are in Ireland growing up, like, you just don't do that. Like, you don't talk about how well you're doing. And almost like if you do, you're going to jinx yourself, you know, everything's going to fall apart if you say you're doing well. And so there's all these like hidden points of views and judgments that like mm-hmm. don't talk about it. If you're doing well, say nothing. Well, so how much do we create the failure, like, and the struggle to mm-hmm. so that other people aren't uncomfortable, and how so other people aren't uncomfortable? Yeah.
Wow.
And I noticed it the other day. I was like sitting next to this girl, and I was like, Archer, I was like, wow, so how much do I create my classes, my creations, to be at a certain like place? You mm-hmm. know, like what's acceptable to have in my classes? What's acceptable to make in my business? Like, what's the norm that's going on around me? And if I keep it there, then other people don't judge themselves. Mm. They don't feel bad.
We have done that everywhere. Yeah. We have been that, right? Like the diminishment of ourselves, because we can so perceive other people, or, you know, and where they are instead of, you know, being totally you, and being that invitation for something greater. And it doesn't mean in any way that you are diminishing them, and you're being true to yourself.
Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, it's massive, because it's like, how much do you become aware when you're next to someone, or you're talking to someone? How much do you become aware of how much they're judging themselves? And so you mm-hmm. diminish you, so they don't. You diminish you, so they don't diminish themselves anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
And it's crazy.
It's so crazy. I'm sorry. You know, we've got a little bit of a delay going here, so we're not trying to talk over each other. It's just
we're all excited, Betsy.
And we're excited. We've got the radio. We can't see each other. You know, we're not together. So anyhow, one of the things that was popping in as you were talking was, even growing up, you know, we did not talk about money. You know, that was like a forbidden, you just didn't talk about it. And it was a very clear message. You didn't talk about it. So the only time I ever knew anything about money was when my father was angry about it with my mother. Like she had spent too much money, or, you know, there wasn't enough, or what. That was the only time it was, you know, any kind of conversation. It usually wasn't a very pleasant conversation. So that's one of the things that I grew up with. You just didn't talk about it. So, you know, where's the message, you know, as a child for me was that's something you hide. That's something you don't talk about. So that message then I translated to definitely you do not talk about your success with money. And you don't talk about, you know, like if you're struggling with money, you don't talk about that either. You just don't discuss it. So in all of this, like what can you choose like that actually works for you in your life? You know, and if it's completely different from, you know, what you learned from your family or, you know, people around you, you know, what are you willing to choose and be and do that is light and joyful and fun for you? Oops. Perfect timing for our first break. We'll be back.
Percolate on the question.
Minutes. Let's really percolate on this amazing subject. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening, guys.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, everybody. How was your percolation during the commercial? I love that Amy said that. Percolate on this while we go to break. Oh, my goodness. Well, this conversation already is like, wee!
So, like, there's so many questions, you know, we ask and we use every day in our life. And sometimes I'm like, am I even, like, allowing to sit with the question and get, like, the awareness? Or do I ask so many questions, I don't know what is what anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about, like the joy of failure, but also like the hiding you talked about before break, Betsy, like the hiding, you know, if you had money, you hid it. If you didn't have money, you hid it. So like, it's interesting. So it's like, if you feel like you're failing, you're trying to hide it. If you feel like you're succeeding, you're trying to hide it. And like, none of it is about actually celebrating the greatness where you are.
Right, absolutely.
And it's interesting, like, because I would have a similar energy too. Like, if I'm doing really well, it's like, oh, but if I let the world know, then what if it gets taken from me, you know? Or what if it all falls apart? And then the whole world would know. And then if I'm doing, by my point of view, I'm doing bad or I'm failing or I have to cancel a class or something. Oh, if I let the world know, they're going to know I'm failing. So it's like all these, like, and it's all about the point of view, right? Like, none of it is real. None of it's true. It's all just a point of view, because failure is a point of view and so is success.
Yes. So true. So true. And, you know, so you spend all your time hiding your failure, hiding your success.
Yeah.
You forget to just be you. And like celebrate the amazingness of you, the uniqueness of you, the brilliance of you. And so these conversations that we have are, to me, such a great reminder that, yeah, we actually are brilliant. We are amazing, and celebrate the things that we create. You know, you see a child and they'll go, you know, scribble something on a piece of paper and they come running to you and they're so excited. And look at what I did, look at what I created. And that joy, that enthusiasm is so contagious. And you look at it and you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. You don't know what you're looking at. And it's so fun, right?
That is a brilliant analogy, because you're right. Like, the child like squiggles on the paper some inillegible thing, but they're so proud of themselves and they run over to you and you don't even know what they wrote, but the energy is so contagious. So it's like, would we be willing to be that energy in the world? Like, hey world, look what I've created, or look what I did today. And not from like having to boast or prove yourself or anything, but from the energy of like this, like you said, being you, like this is who I am. And this is, and I'm sharing with you world, my excitement, my enthusiasm, my joy of just being me and being alive and what I get to choose every day in the world, instead of trying to hide it or justify it or prove that I did enough to deserve it. And also like this thing just keeps coming up and it's in my face, like about turning yourself down so others don't feel bad about themselves. Like, are you willing to be there and allow other people to be uncomfortable?
Yes. You know, I didn't know that this is where our conversation was going to go today. And, you know, it really is such an amazing piece to it, where how much have we done that? And, you know, so even in the joy of failure, which was the name of the show today, what have we projected at ourselves that where we will fail, where we will be rejected? And then if you've been projecting that at yourself, does that become a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yeah, because we're grand and glorious creators. So if your point of view creates your reality, and you want to, you know, you have the projected your reality, you have projected already at yourself that, you know, you will fail, you know, you will not succeed, you won't, you know, then you will create that, because we're brilliant at creating our points of views. to prove to ourselves that they were right.
Yes. Yes. And I certainly used to do that in relationships and then be like, oh, see, so they left me. They left me. See, people always leave me. And so I created that. And that goes for me way, way, way back to early childhood, where I found out that I had been to three different groups of people to raise me before I was 6 months old. So in my world, when I heard that, is like, I'm unlovable, nobody wants me, everybody leaves me. And that was like this underlying current for me for a very long time. And then when friendships, you know, with people would leave my life or for whatever reason, see, there we go again, everybody leaves me. And until I finally realized exactly what I was doing, and those create, so that was my point of view, and that was what I created. So then it no longer is my point of view, and I realized that all of this was very interesting. And you know, I never thought about this piece before, but I wonder even how much of that was projected at me that I was aware of. Oh, that poor girl, you know, she had three families before the age of 6 months old, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so even if that was projected at me, so then I was like, okay, well, that must be who I am. And I made that like part of my, who I was in the world. And so from then I had to function from there. So I had such that point of view that I was going to fail, that I couldn't keep relationships, I couldn't keep friendships, you know. And so if that was my operating system, then that's exactly what I create. And I did not know for a long time how to create beyond it. And now I do, and I don't operate from that point of view anymore. And so you can change it, even something that I had so innately in me from forever. You can change your point of view. So I love that we're bringing that piece also, in too.
Yeah, and it's also interesting because when you had said that, I was like, whoa, so how much did you have to acknowledge that it actually wasn't your point of view to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you know, there was the projected point of view from other families in your world, and then because it's that energy is there in your world, you grow up and you just think, well, that's, mm-hmm. yeah, that's it. That's, you know, I'm unlovable. People leave me. And so you can't say going around this projected point of view that was never even your point of view to begin with, but you buy it as yours, you make it yours, and then you have to really prove it's yours by making sure, like, all these people leave your life all the time, right? And then you're like, get to a point where you're like, okay, you make a demand, like, this has to change. And then the acknowledgement is like, well, it was never even my point of view to begin with.
Yeah.
And so how many of us have that going on with relationship, with money, with our body? Like, I had that with relationship where it was like, relationships don't work. And so, and then when I met someone amazing, I was constantly at the back of my head, like, this isn't going to work. Like, I was waiting for the shoe to drop, you know? I don't know what the saying is, like, where you're just waiting for it all. And I even had that with Access. When I found Access at the start, I was like, this energy of, like, it's too good to be true. This isn't going to work. Like, this is waiting for it to, like, kind of fall apart. And so that would be, like, the pattern of failure set up. Like, that is, it's all going to fall apart. The pattern of rejection, the pattern of disappointment. Mm-hmm. That underneath everything, it's all just going to fall apart. And that's where the Access tools come in amazingly, you know, like being aware of it first and acknowledging that that's the point of view you have bought and you've made yours. And just acknowledging it allows you to actually change it. And a lot of times
so
you start acknowledging it. Yeah.
So
you start acknowledging
now,
it, it starts to change.
It does, and you're no longer functioning from, like, that autopilot that we talked about in the beginning. So you're not on autopilot anymore. You're like, wait, hold on a second. What am I doing here? What am I creating? And then you're asking permission. Please. No, who's stop the bus? I'm getting off this same thing that I was been on my whole life. And, you know, I'm going to take that nice, sleek Ferrari that just drove by, because this crazy town that I've been on, like, yeah, no, this doesn't work for me anymore. And then you make that choice, you make that demand, and things start showing up in your life that you might actually, like, think are totally impossible, and they start showing up. So what would you like to choose? And so one of the things that I love to do here is actually share a few questions and tools to kind of go along with our conversation. So you already talked about one, you know, who does this belong to? So, you know, the things that we talked about, even with my example of how much was I aware of what was being projected at me, and I thought it was me having all those thoughts. So who does this thought belong to? Who does this feeling belong to? Is this even mine? And so when you ask that question, you tap into the energy of it. And then, so for me, as I'm asking that question, and I actually had never thought to ask that particular thing until we talked about my examples, like, oh, wait a minute, none of that, what I decided was real was even mine. So one of the things, if you're working really hard to make something true for you, is it really true for you? Like, what?
Yeah, because anything that's really heavy is actually not your reality.
Right. So would you say a little more?
What's true for
you?
So if it's heavy, it's not your reality. It's not yours. Like, what's true for you is light. So ease, joy, and glory is actually what's true for us. That's our true reality. Like, functioning from ease, joy, and glory. So everything else that is heavy is actually not yours. So, like, how much is the joy of failure, the patterns of disappointment, the patterns of, you know, of expecting and projecting you're not going to succeed? If that's all heavy, is it even yours? Like you said, like, is this yours? Does this belong to you? Who
right.
did you buy it from? You know, did you buy
right.
it from mom? Did you buy, well, sorry, mom. We call it, I call her man. Did you buy it from mother or father or granddad or grandmother
mm-hmm.
or teachers or country, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, and then we, like you said, we make it ours, and then we prove to ourselves it's ours.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the one of the things, as you were talking, that popped in is, you know, that whole generational thing. How many families do you know where, like, they all have that same point of view? They have that, you know, where that's just what they grew up hearing. So most people don't stop and ask that question, hey, is this even true for me?
And I was also looking at, too, Betsy, the other day, I was looking at, like, how, you know, like, a lot of times, like, we go to the wrongness of us. Like, we go to, oh, there's, you know, like, if we go to show up in the world or we go to create something, how much we go to, like, what we can't do or I don't think I can do this, or we go to all the, like, wrongness and the judgment. And then I was looking at people who create, like, who create greatness in the world. And we all create our own greatness, right? But I was just looking at people who are out there on a big scale, right? And I was saying, well, what's different about them? Like, but what I got was, like, they just choose beyond it. Like, they still have all the stuff come up, but they just go beyond it.
Mm-hmm.
So they, and so it really comes down to, like, what would you like to choose? And would you be comfortable receiving? And this was the question Gary Douglas gave us. And this kind of sparked the whole, you know, why I wanted to do this telecall, because he gave me some wedgies at the last class we were at about the joy of failure. He actually said that to me, you know, well done, you're doing the joy of failure. And and then he talked more about it in the class. And one of the things he talked about was, are you more comfortable receiving, you're more comfortable receiving rejection than you are admiration. And that's where I started to see it this week. And I talked earlier to you about like how, you know, if somebody asks you something, how much you go to, oh, I'm not doing that well, and minimizing yourself so that you both can like sit in this stream of rejection together rather than actually receiving like people maybe looking up to you or admiring you or, you know, lusting after you, wanting what you want, envying you, being jealous of you. Like there's all these different stuff that comes up like when you're willing to actually be the greatness of you and actually not diminish you.
Yes. For so many people, myself included, that can, some of those things that you mentioned can be quite uncomfortable.
They
and,
are.
You know,
that's the thing.
We don't have conversations about what do you do if somebody's, you know, you're aware of someone's jealous of you or someone's lusting
yeah.
for you or somebody's whatever. So
hates you.
Those aren't, right? Those aren't normal conversations. So what do you do? So then you just kind of shrink yourself. So what
yeah.
else could people do with that when they're aware of that?
Well, yeah, I think the first step is first becoming aware of it. Because if you're not aware of it, you can't change it. And then if you can actually
mm-hmm.
become aware of it, you can actually start to, interesting point of view is, you know, a tool that will get you out of everything. Like, interesting point of view, they have that point of view. Interesting point of view, I have that point of view, that they shouldn't have that point of view. You know, interesting point of view, I have that point of view, that they have that point of view. And getting you to a place there where, and also like being willing, I think also too for me, it's like practicing, because it has to be a practice. Like, and I've heard, you know, Shannon O'Hara, I listen a lot to her podcast too, talk about like the tools and practicing. And Andrew recently was talking too, like he, you know, like you don't just get to interesting point of view overnight. Like you got to practice with the tools every day and apply them to your life. And like, how do you become more like comfortable? And I don't know if you're ever going to be comfortable receiving judgment, but I think it's a practice. Like it's a practice in being present with you and your body when someone is judging and not diminishing you and being present, even if it's uncomfortable, and not trying to run away or not try to make them okay, and not jumping into
mm-hmm.
their world to try and rearrange things so they're not feeling bad. Like, you know, if you look at Dane and Gary, and they, you know, facilitate these classes to lots of people, and they receive all these different energies, you know, and
mm-hmm.
like, how do they
yeah.
receive them? Like, and they didn't get there overnight either, you know? Like they obviously
so
have to use the tools and practice them and use the tools and practice them and think, oh, we're going to break.
All right. A little more preparation while we're on break. We'll be back shortly and we're with Amy Shine today talking about the joy of failure. Stay tuned, guys.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Joy of failure? Do you have a joy of success? Do you just avoid both of them like the plague? That's some of the things we're talking about today with Amy Shine. And wow, is this time going by fast? So before we dive in, because the next thing you know, we'll be at the end of the show. Amy, if anybody's interested in reaching out to you, finding more about your telecall coming up, or, you know, if they're listening and it's already happened, that they would like to reach out and talk to you, find out about your classes, how can they find you?
Oh, well, I have a website, and it's www.amyshine.net. You can also reach me on Facebook, Amy Shine on Facebook as well, and send me a message there.
Nice. Wonderful. Yeah. And I have a website, which is creatingyumminess.com, and it just got an overhaul, so I'm excited about that. And we finally have revealed it. And, you know, the joy of failure is like, you know what? It's not going to be perfect. Of course, there's going to be things I want to change and update. And let's launch it anyhow.
That's why I was laughing. I'm like 7 years, you know, as a facilitator and like talking about doing a website and started about 3 or 4 of them and didn't finish any of them. And then eventually I finally just got my friend Becky to help me and get one started. And it's, you know, it's just up there and there's so many things I want to change, but it's like, God, you know, there's such a relief when you just put something out in the world. Like, even if it's, you know, not what you would like it to be yet or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
but just put it out there. Like, how many things are we waiting to, you know, release and put out there in the world? Because, you know, we've decided it's not, it's not perfect or
it's not perfect.
It's not up to our standards. Yeah.
I'm not done yet, so I can't do anything. I think I might be the queen of that. You know, I got to wait until it's perfect. And even though it's funny with the name of my show, Imperfect Brilliance, and yet I will still do that in certain places. And so I love that we're having these conversations. Be like, oh, you're being so silly. Like, what if you just put up a little bit of information and you can keep adding to it? Oh, right. I can do that, can't I?
Yeah, and it's like, how much have we decided, like, we need to have everything in order, like, all the pieces mm-hmm. in the right place and all, you know, looking right before we can release it. And then that's, again, like, because otherwise what will happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, are you willing to succeed, like, and have the joy of success, even if you've decided, you know,
yes,
that everything isn't in place yet, you know? And I think Gary Douglas is a great example. Like, he found, you know, he brought the tools of access consciousness to the world. And when he started, like, he didn't have anyone. And I remember Simone Molasses, you know, worldwide coordinator, talking about when she first met Gary, like, he didn't have an email account. He didn't have a website. He didn't have anything. And she kind of came along and was like, okay, let me help you, like, get out in the world. And so she mm-hmm. started with him. Doing, you know, helping him with all this stuff, but like he was just willing to go out in the world. Like, and at that stage, I think he was even traveling to Australia and things, and he still didn't have any of that stuff in place. and so, like, God, if we were willing to be that brave just to put ourselves out in the world, even without any of that stuff in place that we've decided we need first, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
what
so
would
true.
Be great?
Exactly. And, you know, being willing to stumble and fall and actually celebrate what you perceive as a failure, you know, so having that joy of failure and going, well, I just like tried to jump off the deep end and wow, did I mess up, like, in to actually celebrate and say. And then one of my favorite questions with when I can either be frustrated or there's something going on that I think I've messed up, this wonderful question. What is right about this I'm not getting?
That's like my favorite question in Access. That was the first question I got in Access, and it changed my whole world. And I talk about it. I use that question. Give it to so many people. What's right about me that I'm not getting? Oh, my God.
And that's like such a spin on, because you're not going, because we go to what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And this question is like, what's right with me? Wait, what? There couldn't be anything
right.
When I think I'm wrong and I think I've messed up, how could it possibly be right?
What's right about my business that I'm not getting? And what's right about my relationship I'm not getting? And what's right about my body that I'm not getting? And it's like, and that's the one thing about like the joy of failure, like how do you change a lot of this stuff is like by actually starting to acknowledge you first, acknowledging your gifts, your talents, your abilities, acknowledging just you, the being, you, the person you are. And then when you start acknowledging you, like, really, truly, is there any failure?
Wow. Great question.
And is there any even success? Because success is a judgment too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What one person might determine as success may be something totally different to someone else.
Yes. It's so true, because again, you go back to that, it's a point of view. And you know, if you show 12 people the same exact piece of paper that you've colored in, let's say with the blue, right? One person's gonna say it's turquoise, the next person's gonna say it's cyan, the next one's gonna go it's blue, the next one is, no, that's pale blue, no, that's blue-green. And they're all looking at the exact same thing. So
yes,
what you view as failure, the next person could look at as just a huge success.
Exactly. And I also think just with the world we're living in today and like, you know, social media and everything that we're kind of surrounded by, that there seems to be success is like stardom, you know?
Yeah.
And I see people a lot, like, doing a lot of comparison, you know, like, oh, well, this person is on stage and has this big audience and I'm not. And a lot of it is, like, you're setting yourself up for failure because you're using comparison and you're comparing yourself to someone else. And you're also comparing yourself to someone else based on what their life looks like from the outside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, from what they're showing on social media or from what you're seeing, you know, from pictures or whatever. And it's like, I like to sometimes ask myself, oh, would I like to trade bodies with this person?
Mm-hmm.
And then usually when I ask that, and then I always get, oh no. And then it's like, okay, so do I really, you know, so like, do I really want to create what they're creating? Or could I just be inspired by their creation? And then ask, you know, like, okay, inspired by the energy of what they're creating, and then ask for what's my reality here and what's true for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so, and how much are we avoiding being that inspiration for others by the constant, like, judgment of ourselves and the failure that we keep going to, rather than, hey, I'm choosing this for my life, and you can have this or have energies like this or not have this and just keep going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really just getting this week, it's really time to give up the playing it small, you know? The aligning, agreeing with the struggle, the, you know, the relating to each other from the smallness. Like, what if we all started relating to each other from the greatness, you know? What would that create in our world? Like, yeah.
Absolutely. I know when I see somebody creating something and that I view as inspiring, I'm like, oh, what would it take for me to create that? You know, and how, and it really energizes me. And I cannot say the same about failure.
I know, right? You're like, oh, we're all struggling together. This feels great. But it's like, especially when you see someone you know, or that maybe in your friends or network of friends or whatever, and you see them created, it's like almost like, well, if they can have that, then I can have I can have that too. If it's possible for them, mm-hmm. then it's possible for me. And so the more that we're willing to just go big and have what's possible for us, then the more other people can have that too, you know?
So true. Right. And you never know who you're inspiring by being you. And, you know, would you like to inspire yourself as well? And then from the space of inspiration, and if you're inspiring you, what can be created from that space of inspiration? And I know for me,
I love it because there's such there's such an inclusion of you in that question, Betsy, you know? Because it's like you're including you, and there's also like an acknowledgement of you in that question. Because we spend so much of our, a lot of us spend a lot of our days looking out and looking at other people and looking what other people have, and then, you know, maybe judging it because you don't have that or whatever. But when you're willing to be inspired by yourself, you're not looking out for comparison. You're actually acknowledging you, and you're willing to actually be greater than you were yesterday.
Wow. I love that.
Wow.
Right. So everywhere that you've been unwilling to outcreate what you created yesterday and inspire yourself, what if everything is the opposite of what it appears to be, and you actually are your greatest inspiration? And so everywhere you've been looking outside of yourself for this inspiration, for what you think that you are lacking, what if you start with you and start asking these questions and acknowledging everything that you have created, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, all those things that you've decided are the good, the bad, the ugly, the horrible. What if you embrace all of it? What if you celebrate all of it? And in that, what can you create by changing that point of view and asking those questions? What is right about me? I'm not getting. What's right about my business? I'm not getting. What is right about this? I'm not getting. And we've talked about so many different tools today and questions. And I wonder, you know, like, even if you just took one of these and played with them for a week, what that would change in your life.
Yeah. Is it's only when you use the tools, you'll see how they work.
Mm-hmm. And I know for me, when I first heard some of these questions, they were so different. And some, what I've been doing so far hasn't really gotten me the life that I would like to have. So I'm willing to try it. And some of them I did a little bit more reluctantly than others, and some of them I dove right in. And seeing over time, seeing people around me that were asking these questions and choosing it, and then what the changes for me as well, like, oh, wow, this actually works, and it's so much easier than what I have been doing, which was the fight, the struggle, the aligning with the misery of so many people around me. And it just kind of was like this anchor that was pulling me down and down and down and down and into depression and a lot of body things and pain and all kinds of things that none of those were fun.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this needs to change. And so I'm so grateful that I found something that worked for me and worked dynamically for me. And I see so many people who've gone through similar things and have found these questions to be life-changing.
Yeah, and they're so simple. They're so simple. You nearly devalue them.
Well, that's so true. And it, you know, we said this earlier in the show. Like, is it too good to be true?
Yeah.
And even that, like, sets yourself up for that shoe to drop.
Yeah.
Question.
The failure's gonna come.
hit me in the face.
Yep. I know it's going to come, so it's going to come. Right. So, you know, if you have some of those thoughts popping in, would you be willing to play with some of the questions that we talked about and see if it changes anything for you? And reach out and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Seriously, with, you know, accessbetsy@gmail.com. And Amy, what's your email?
It's shinemovement@gmail.com.
Shinemovement@gmail.com. And so let us
movement,
know. Let
yeah.
us know. Movement, plural.
Yeah, there's an S at the end. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
I'm more of a plural person than a singular.
Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed this conversation as much as I have. Amy, I love playing with you, and I hope that you'll come back on my show sometime. And, you know, listening to your beautiful Irish accent for an hour was a total joy.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Betsy.
Thank you, guys, and have a great week, and celebrate you.
Bye.
Bye.